support for OPB comes from our members and from our sponsors, like Mike Rosenberg from Columbia Credit Union. Mike says they trust what they see and hear on OPB, and that aligns with Columbia Credit Union's brand.
This is Think Out Loud on OPB. I'm Dave Miller. When one of the city of Portland's snowplows, dump trucks, or excavators needs to be repaired, it ends up at the Kirby Garage, a two-story city-owned facility in North Portland. But while the facility is responsible for servicing more than 2,000 vehicles, the building itself, according to the city's own reports, is in very poor condition. As Willamette Week reporter Sophie Peel recently wrote, though, it's not clear that there is either the money or the political will to finally address this situation. Sophie Peel joins us now. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
You spent a couple days at the Kirby Garage at this point in different reporting times. What is it like inside?
Yeah, it's kind of like a giant warehouse, but, you know, instead of boxes and packing materials, you've got these, you know, unbelievably large vehicles and machines that are just crammed into a really small space. So they're, you know, really crowding each other in. You've got dump trucks and excavators and sewer suckers, which I didn't know was a thing until I went to the Kirby, asphalt rakers. And then there's all this kind of crazy equipment that's, you know, hanging from the ceiling and the walls. There are just machines. There's one that looks like a giant sewing machine, that, you know, they use to dismantle tires. It's really unlike any place I've been before. Mechanics get there around 6 a.m. for the morning shift. And, you know, by 7 a.m., there's music playing inside the garage from a radio. There's vehicles rolling in and out. There's just noise of machines and you've got mechanics milling around. And it's a really one of a kind place.
What did you learn about safety or working conditions?
So this facility, it became the city of Portland's primary fleet maintenance garage in 1971, and it has never been appropriate for this use even 50 years ago. But, you know, its inappropriateness has only increased over the years and decades since 1971. You know, the floors are really unevenly sloped, meaning mechanics can't jack their vehicles up to work on the underbelly. They instead have to crawl underneath the vehicles on their backs. There's no air conditioning. There's no modern fire suppression system, even though the mechanics are working with really pressurized machines and machines filled with fuel, too. The tire bay is well across the main repair bay, so mechanics have to roll these 100-pound tires across the floor to dismount them. And, you know, structural engineers twice in the past year have actually weight restricted the upper repair bay. So there's kind of this lower repair bay, which is the primary one, and then this upper repair bay, which is upper ramp. But twice in the past year, structural engineers have come to the Kirby and said, hey, you can't, you know, you cannot work on vehicles on this top repair bay that are more than 10,000 pounds. So that's really crowded most of the big vehicles into the lower repair bay. On the upper repair bay, they can really only fix, you know, Portland Street Response vans, police vehicles, and motorcycles.
You first reported on this garage 2 years ago when the city said that conditions were unsafe. Has anything improved since then?
You know, the short answer is no. I mean, the Kirby has made some kind of small ad hoc repairs over the years, but it's never received, you know, any sizable chunk of funding to do any meaningful repairs, like replacing the failing roof or expanding the footprint of the garage. So there's been small tweaks here and there, but there's just not been the funding made available to make meaningful repairs.
Maddie Sauter, a manager for the city's asset management division, told you that there is a caste system among city workers. What did she mean?
Yeah, I think, you know, Maddie and I had talked at length about this over a number of different conversations. And I think what she meant is that there are certain bureaus that get the short end of the stick. And the Kirby is one of those sections of city employees that have just routinely gotten the short end of the stick. And, you know, her theory is that because the Kirby is invisible to the public, it's an internally facing service. So it serves the city bureaus and not necessarily the public itself. So because it's invisible, it just doesn't get political support. And if the city wanted to do really meaningful repairs at the Kirby, it's their customer bureaus. So the Portland Bureau of Transportation, Bureau of Environmental Services, the Water Bureau, that would have to eat the costs. And they've never wanted to do that. City Council hasn't invested in the Kirby because it's just not politically popular. And Mayor Ted Wheeler said as much during a February work session on the Kirby. And he was really transparent about that and saying, you know, no city council member in recent history or ever has fought for the Kirby because it's not politically popular with voters because they don't really know it exists.
and money could go to a new park or fixing up a park as opposed to fixing up something that may mow the grass in the park.
Right, right. It's just it's almost just one, you know, one degree too removed from the public eye to really matter.
What happened at the Kirby Garage during the pandemic?
So during the pandemic, I mean, as many people know, a lot of city employees who could went home to work. There were certain city employees like police and firefighters and park rangers that had to show up in person. The Kirby mechanics were in a slightly different situation. They couldn't work from home nor lessen their hours because at the time the Kirby billed for hourly labor. So they're a recovery cost, you know, division. They don't make profits. They just recover costs. But they do so by billing their customer bureaus by the hour. So that meant if they didn't labor as many hours as they normally would, they wouldn't be able to recover costs. And when the Kirby asked their customer bureaus, so, you know, again, Bureau of Transportation, Water Bureau, a lot of the kind of public service bureaus, when the Kirby asked if they could change their rate model during the pandemic to just be a flat rate per vehicle instead of charging for hourly labor, the bureau said no. So the Kirby, you know, mechanics really had no option but to show up every day in a very small, crammed space.
When did the city first start documenting serious problems, safety problems or others, at the Kirby?
Yeah, the first report, you know, city staff can find dates back to 1976. So that's about 5 years after the Kirby became the city's primary repair garage. And at that time, the report, you know, put it pretty simply. They just said that the Kirby was unfit for what it was being used for. You know, it sits on a really steep hill, so it makes maneuvering vehicles in and out really difficult and a little precarious. You know, the report said the footprint was far too small, and that was 50 years ago, and the fleet has grown by hundreds of vehicles since then. So already the building was unfit for its use. I mean, even when it became the city's main repair garage, it was already, I mean, city officials already knew that it was unfit, but, you know, they did it anyways.
Why has it never taken action?
You know, I think there's a couple different ways you can look at this. I mean, I think that the hard part is that, like, if the city could fund everything, it would, you know, if it could fund new parks and fill all the potholes and also increase its police force and, you know, build thousands of units of new affordable housing, it would. But, you know, the city does have to prioritize its resources because their money is finite. I think the Kirby has consistently been shoved aside for more pressing or sort of flashy concerns and, you know, not necessarily flashy, but concerns of the time. I think the city council has had the difficult charge of balancing immediate and sort of emerging crises. So, you know, homelessness, fentanyl, COVID-19 with really expensive infrastructure projects like a relocation of the Kirby. And, you know, these aren't easy decisions, but I do think there's this feeling amongst Kirby mechanics that the city council has for decades now kind of shoved them aside for more politically popular ventures.
Although you do note, and it's worth just mentioning here, that city leaders did make the decision to spend hundreds of millions of dollars for the Portland building, the garish modern building where many city white collar workers work. And that's not something that most Portlanders really care about is where city employees are working. But that is a choice that city leaders made. Is the Kirby a priority right now for anybody who wields meaningful, significant power in the city?
You know, my temperature check, and I don't want to speak for the city council, but in my conversations with them, I think they all they all know that the Kirby is in poor condition. They actually have all toured the building within the past year, which was new for city council. So I think they all conceptually know that it's in bad shape and they conceptually support it. But I think when push comes to shove, I'm really not sure how they'll come down on this. I think it's easy to say you support something and then, and you know, they haven't made promises about whether or not they're going to fund a relocation. But again, it's easy to say you support something that because there's no one that would argue the Kirby isn't important. But I am a little dubious that they will actually meaningfully invest in the Kirby anytime soon.
I want to talk about some of the potential options going forward, but just briefly, I mean, over the last year or two, when we've talked about intractable political problems in the city, we've often heard folks say that the coming change in the charter, that the end of the commissioner form of government, the arrival of a stronger mayor, that could change the equation for various issues. That seems less true here, right?
I think there's really an argument to be made for both scenarios. You know, one thing Maddie Sauter often pointed out to me was that the city has really had no concrete infrastructure funding plan for decades. Infrastructure always falls to the wayside because of our commission form of government. You know, if the bureaus don't want to, you know, chalk up the funding for a new facility, and obviously the city commissioners oversee the bureaus, it's not going to get that support. And, you know, she's been adamant that once the city is run by a professional city administrator, that infrastructure will be taken more seriously because the city administrator won't be a politician. You know, they won't be swung by the politics of the day. But then there's the other scenario where, you know, because the city council will still be voting on the city's budget once the new form of government kicks in, and because the Kirby isn't politically popular, that they won't vote to fund it. So I think I'm a little less starry-eyed about the new form of government fixing the Kirby's woes.
So let's turn to the potential fixes or other changes. First of all, what would it cost to repair the current building?
So the current estimate for renovating the Kirby, and this would just be very basic repairs, like repairing the failing roof, is about $43 million. But because, you know, fixing the roof would trigger all these seismic upgrades and just a bajillion different, you know, code enforcement things, the city actually hasn't even bothered to calculate the entire cost of renovating the Kirby because they just know it would be sort of an untenable number. And so they've actually not calculated that amount, but that's really not one of the options on the table. You know, the bigger problem with renovating the existing Kirby is that they can't do anything about the footprint. They cannot expand the footprint. And that's one of the critical issues of the existing garage, is that it's just not big enough to support the city's fleet.
So what options are on the table?
Yeah, so there are two real options here. You know, one is to lease out a warehouse on Swan Island for $1.1 million per year. To do so, though, the city would have to kind of immediately cough up $53 million in bonds for upfront infrastructure repairs to that facility. That would have to happen this summer. And again, we would go out for bonds in those, and the city, the customer bureaus that the Kirby serves would pay those bonds down over a 20-year period. But, you know, it is, again, a pretty steep upfront cost. And then the ongoing lease would be $1.1 million for 23 years, and then two 10-year renewal options. The other option that the city council has is to do nothing. It's not to renovate. It's not to relocate. It's just to leave the Kirby as is.
You addressed this a little bit, but just to ask you, you know, point blank, I mean, if history is any guide, is there any reason to believe that city leaders are actually going to act this time around?
I'm cautiously optimistic that there is enough noise around the Kirby at this point, because, you know, Maddie has been a total bulldog in advocating for it. You know, I'd like to think the article we wrote maybe helps move the needle a tiny bit, though, you know, I don't want to overestimate that. I'm cautiously optimistic, but I also understand that the city is facing a really tight budget year as is. We're facing cuts across the board. And, you know, we've also got some really big issues that our city is facing. And so I really can't say what's going to happen. And I'm cautiously optimistic, but I would emphasize the cautiously on that part.
Sophie, thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks.
Sophie Peel is a reporter for Willamette Week. You can read her cover article about the Kirby Garage in this week's issue of Willamette Week.